It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And we're going to have to get that introduction changed one of these first days because Joey's been around a lot lately. I'm sure you're all starting to recognize not just the name, but the voice also. And Adam will be back next week. He's out catching sharks.
Yeah, he sent us a video. It was last night, I guess. His son pulled up like a 12-foot shark. It was like an hour-long fight.
That's when you know your fishing day is done, the way I see it.
Yeah, I think they both got a good nap after that.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Anyway, we could probably sit here till 5 o'clock and just talk about good things.
Yeah.
I'm going to avoid almost everything negative today, with the exception of one, and I'm not going to tell you what it is just yet. But everything else, what a thing this whole couple of weeks has been, like a whirlwind of good news all at once. And then we have the 249th birthday party, which leads into a year-long celebration of the 250th birthday or the anniversary of our independence. So that's going to make for a very interesting year, including a fight held at the White House and things like that.
Yeah.
Every day they throw in something else to pique the interest of the citizens. So I think this is just going to be a flat-out fun time to be an American, barring anything horrible. You can't go through it and not acknowledge the poor people in Texas who got flooded out, especially the Girl Scout camp or the Girls camp. And that, having a river rise like that, that far, that fast, that unexpected, I could not imagine. So my heart goes out to them. And that said, let's go back to fun stuff. And that can be any number of things. But incidentally, it was a great week in the market.
It
short,
was.
But great.
Somehow with 4 days, we got more done than we've done with many months in the past.
Well, Fridays aren't always your friend, so we just skipped it.
Yeah.
Works for me.
So it was a bull of a week on Wall Street with the S&P and multiple sectors surging to all-time highs. Investors are riding a wave of optimism following fresh economic data and the passage of a major reconciliation bill in Washington. We're going to talk some about that today. For the shortened week, the Dow led the charge, climbing 2.3%. The S&P was up about 1.7%, while the tech-heavy NASDAQ was about 1.6%. Year-to-date, that story is positive. The S&P and NASDAQ are both at about plus 6.8% since the start of the year, and the Dow is up about 5.4%. And I think the thing to note here is the rally has been remarkably broad, and I mean remarkably. The S&P 500's 10-day advanced decline line, a measure of market breadth, has surged to a level in the 98th percentile of all readings since 1990. Remarkable.
It is amazing.
Further, 78% of stocks in the index are now trading above their 50-day moving average. Every single sector was in the green this week, with materials leading the pack at a 3.77% gain.
It's been a long time since you said that, hasn't
it? Yeah. I mean, look at that Dow rising. It's been a sleepy index for a while, this week.
That's crazy.
Overseas, markets are posting a strong year. The MSCI EAFE index for developed markets was up 18.5% year-to-date, and emerging markets are up 16.7%. Also, two areas where you just have not seen performance like that in quite some time. A key driver this week was action in Washington, as both the Senate and House passed the significant reconciliation bill, aka the Big Beautiful Bill. Again, we're going to talk some about that today. This appears to have boosted investor sentiment alongside a newly announced trade deal with Vietnam. On the economic front, the labor market continues to show resilience. The Department of Labor reported that initial jobless claims for the last week of June fell to 233,000, a drop of more than 4,000 from the previous week. We got the JOLTS report, I know Steve's going to dig into today, showing that job openings rose to 7.8 million, an increase 0.7.4 in April. And finally, in the bond market, the yield on the 10-year Treasury note has been creeping higher, ending the day at 4.35%. That's up from 4.24%, and probably shows recognition of the market's strong performance.
Agreed. All right, a couple things. You mentioned the JOLTS. That's the absolute number of jobs that are listed that are open.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this was not only a short week, but it was an important week because they did all the regular jobs reports. And as usual, there's some confusion. So always on Wednesday, the first Wednesday of the month, we get the ADP, they're the payroll processing company, and they put out a number for the number of jobs that were created or lost during the prior month based on private employers using their own sampling techniques. Well, it's been a long time since I said this, too, but when that number came up, it was negative, minus 33,000, which for those of us who follow these things, kind of, that was a bit of a setback and an eye-opener for Wednesday morning, thinking, woo, if this is the pattern that we're going to continue at the government level, then we got some troubles coming up. Mm-hmm. So instead of Friday, because of the holiday, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, they let out all of their news on Thursday morning. So we didn't have long to wait. You know, the suspense was manageable. And lo and behold, on an expected 110,000 increase or so, they came up with 147,000, to which they added another 16,000 from revisions to the prior 2 months. So all of a sudden, okay, what's going on? Which of these two things is right? Which of them is wrong? Can they peacefully coexist? And the answer to that is yes, they can, if you dig deep enough. First off, the government number, the headline number that you get is from the establishment survey, and you have to look down under that to the second one they put out called the household survey to get some of the actual statistics. And if you dug into the household survey, the 147 was not exactly verified there, but it was 93,000 plus. And when you're dealing with something of that magnitude, that is a very minor and forgettable error. So I thought, okay, those go pretty well together. Now let's explain the private payroll thing. So we dug into it, and sure enough, the federal employment is continuing its downward trend, as we all hoped it would. But what's happening now is that state and local governments are picking up the pieces, and they're assuming, I would say, more of their rightful responsibilities as time goes by. In fact, Joey was... He pointed that out when I brought this up, that this is probably operating in a constitutional manner where all things not expressly delegated to the federal government are reserved for the people in the states. And I think what we're seeing here is a return to the fundamentals, much more fundamentals. In other words, pushing decisions down to the lowest level at which they're practical. And I am even more enthused once I saw that than I was when I saw that the government numbers were positive, because, you know, with that sloppy start we got, I wasn't too sure. But I also checked the CES birth death adjustment, which is a way that they can fudge some jobs if they want to, and that was only 24,000. So that didn't explain anything. So I'm left to the conclusion that things are pretty darn good out there.
It sure looks that way.
Yep. What bothers me, I will tell you right after the break. It's very short, but we need to take this and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And we are going to get right into it again. I wanted to make one comment, then we'll do the trivia question. The problem with the jolts, the high number of jobs that are open, we're having a decreasing labor force participation rate still. I would have thought that would have perked up by now. You know, people are making more money. The minimum wages are up. The practical minimum wages are up higher. And there should be all kinds of ways with so many jobs open, competing for so few people, and yet the participation rate was worse this past month. So Joey and I were just talking at the break. I think what's happening here is that part of the tax bill that we're about to dive into is going to help that. And the reason I say that is you've all heard all the whining about Medicaid and Medicare and all the people that are going to die, you know, and I'm going to predict that that's right. I am going to predict right now that 9,000 people a day are going to die, because that's what happens in this country every single day. No change. So anyway, sarcasm aside, I think that the provisions that they actually put into Medicaid, which is a 20-hour a week, 40-hour a month, 40 hours every 2 weeks provision, if you are an able-bodied person with no dependents at home and you're perfectly capable of working and you're on Medicaid, we're going to boot you off unless you put in your time at only 20 hours a week. And that can even be training courses, education, whatever it is. You have to show some initiative to stay on there. There are 1.4 million people that we know of that do absolutely nothing to deserve it. We're also going to kick out some non-citizen types. Anyway, but you know, all the hair pulling and hand wringing and all that, what in reality is going to happen here, I hope, is that some of these people are going to reenter the workforce, cut down those open jobs, start to earn themselves at least some pride. And as Joey said, I bet they're healthier too when they go back to work. And I absolutely agree with that.
Sure. And as we'll find out when we go through this, some of these tax notes, they're going to pay zero tax basically. Yeah. I mean, if you're working 20 hours a week, I don't know how you're going to hit.
Unless you're doing something really rare, and then they're going to want you more than 20 hours a week. You're absolutely right. So there's good things, as I said, all around. Let's see. We do have a trivia question, as usual, brought to you by Paul Lloyd at First Coast Alarm. You can call Paul at 904-636-7888. And by the way, you can call us at 904-222-8255. Joey alluded to this in the market wrap. Most of you know that the S&P 500 index is the best way we've ever found to measure the market. On TV, they say the market's near an all-time high, and they're talking about the Dow. But the market is at an all-time high and has been all week, and that's the S&P 500. But what's interesting is that this week, Tuesday, let's drop back for a second. The S&P 500 index itself is cap-weighted, meaning the size of the company is weighted. So a company twice as big in market cap gets twice as much input in the index change. But the equal-weighted S&P 500 is also in an ETF, by the way. And once in a while, the equal weight can outperform the cap weight. And what that means is all the smaller stocks are starting to get attention. And that happened this week. There's only been 77 times in 35 years where the equal-weight index was up more than 1% over the cap-weighted index, 77 times. What year produced the most of those things? And as always, I have a point. And you'll hear it by the end of the show.
That's a good question.
All right. Taxes, 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 right?
Let's dig in. So the big tax bill, I'm just going to run through some kind of highlights that I think really affect the vast majority of taxpayers. This whole bill is over 800 pages long. I don't think you want me running through that whole thing, but I'll pull out.
I got time.
Well, like you said, we could sit here till 5. Maybe we will.
Exactly. It would take that.
So your historically low tax brackets, which were set to sunset at the end of this year before the passing of the big, beautiful bill on July 4th, are going to stay for many years to come. So that means the 10%, 12%, 22, 24, 32, 35, and 37 tax brackets are going to stay here. Previously, the highest tax bracket went up to 39.6, and that's what we were slated to see again if this bill had not passed. So taxpayers can start there as they're looking for joy about lower tax bills. The other thing that's sticking around is the larger standard deduction. So for a married couple, that's going to be $30,000 and indexed for inflation going forward. And just to paint what this deduction did, you know, when they introduced it with the original TCJA back in 2017, we went from over 30% of taxpayers itemizing their deductions to less than 10%. And that remains the case today. That $30,000 standard deduction is a big deal.
Yeah, that was a goal of the people who set out to change the system. And that was one thing they actually did accomplish. And they get credit where it's due. They get blame where it's due, too. But credit's always good.
Sure. And when we were talking about, you know, the Medicaid thing and people going back to work, you know, if people are earning $15 an hour and working, let's say, 20 hours a week, you know, they're probably at $15,000 in taxable income before standard deduction. So if they're a single filer, that's a $0 tax bill based on that.
Hard to argue.
Yep. Child tax credit bump. So it now rises to $2,200 instead of $2,000 for 2025. And that bump to 2000 in the first place was one of the features of TCJA back in 2017. A big note on that?
It was not indexed for inflation at the time.
Correct. Yep. That's the big thing, is now it indexes every year. So,
you know me, I've done whole segments on the irritating tax code, because they say it's indexed for inflation, but so many things are statutory, and all that means is they're not indexed for inflation.
Right.
So they fixed a few of those.
And it's funny, the cost of having a child goes up every year, so it only makes sense. Estate exemption remains historically high. It's been at about 15, well, right now it's at $15 million per person, and that continues to rise with inflation every year. Had that not been part of the bill, it would have fallen to $7 million. So people that find themselves in that situation, rejoice. You've got a larger part of the estate.
Imagine my relief.
Yeah. SALT deduction is now up to $40,000. So that's the state and local tax deduction for people that live in high income tax or property tax states. They especially see this as a factor. For income up to $500,000, you'll be able to deduct $40,000 of your state and local taxes against your federal tax bill. But that phases down to $10,000 after that $500,000 income mark. And it starts this year and expires in 2029. So it's not a forever thing like some of these other components.
Yeah, there's several things that only last for the duration of the Trump presidency. There, that sets the same trap for the same reason that we were in on the TCJA.
Right.
It was technically set to go through Trump's second term, but then some other stuff happened, and we had to redo it.
Charitable donations, this is a huge thing in my mind. Now $1,000 per filer will be deductible regardless of whether you're itemizing your deductions or not.
Above the line.
Above the line, baby. And that means, you know, I think that applies to a ton of dollars. I mean, think about if you drop in on, you know, just in terms of action steps, if you drop things off at Goodwill or any small donations to churches, other nonprofits that you're a part of, keep track of those. They matter now. That's going to save you tax dollars, whereas historically less than 10% of people had any relevance in what they were giving.
You know what this is going to supplement is the qualified charitable contribution.
Yes.
And what that is, for those of you who know, a lot of you do know, I'm sure, but if you're 70 and a half and have an IRA, for instance, and you want to give money to charity, you can use a QCD. And what that does, it has your custodian write the check directly to your charity, and it never hits your tax return. So you do not pay taxes on that and then try to deduct it out of your return. It just doesn't exist. So it's a pure 100% savings against your income. Well, if you don't happen to have that capability, say you're 70.2 or 69 years old, now you can accomplish the same thing. And you can withdraw money out of your IRA if you want to, but if you have a grand or two laying around, you can just give it away and take it right off your top line as if you used a QCD.
That's a really great point. That's going to make that planning a little bit more fun.
So much better.
And for listeners, one of the best things you can do is give highly appreciated stock directly to a charity or to a donor-advised fund. That's just, you're basically double-dipping in tax savings at
Absolutely.
That point.
Absolutely.
The next piece is no tax on Social Security. So that didn't pass in literal terms of eliminating tax on Social Security, but there's an effective same thing that's taken place via a deduction for filers 65 and older. Each filer over 65 will get a deduction of $6,000 per person, up to $75,000 in income for single filers or $150,000 for married filing jointly before that begins to phase out. So in practical terms, a married couple over age 65 now owes $0 in tax up to $42,000 of income.
Yeah, and the net result of that, right now there's about 60% of Social Security recipients who don't pay tax on it. Net result is that this is expected to bump that up to 88% of people will not pay taxes. Now, why didn't Trump's promise go through? I have explained this twice so far on this show. The biggest single problem with Social Security is what everybody knows, it's running out of money. What a lot of people don't understand is the sources of funding for Social Security include, one, the payroll tax that we all pay and we're familiar with. Two, the taxes that the 40% of us who pay taxes on it, the income tax charged against Social Security is immediately refunded back into the system, prolonging its life by increasing its income. And then there are occasional other things where they have to make adjustments from the general fund. But all that would happen if they said no tax on Social Security is that it would lose all of that revenue that comes in from the 40%, and that benefits no one. So I explained why it couldn't happen, it didn't happen, and we'll carry on in a second right after a break. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
I remind everybody the lines are open, 904-222-8255. Joey and I are going to sit here and talk about all the fun things we like to talk about, unless you want to break in and talk about something else or just make a comment on the passing scene or whatever. We'll be here waiting. Trivia questions still open. Only 77 times in 35 years has the equal-weighted S&P 500 gone up more in one day than the cap-weighted. I want to know what year that took place. And, of course, there's a reason. All right, another thing, before we dive back into this, I want to talk about vocabulary for a minute. You ready for this one?
Let's do it.
I am no longer going to use the term OBBB or 1BBB. It is no longer the one big, beautiful bill. From this moment on this show, it should be known as the OBBL or the 1BBL, because now it's the one big, beautiful law. Isn't that exceptional?
That's awesome.
I absolutely love it. And the other thing is, there's another term that needs to be retired, and that term is the Trump tax cuts. After 8 years, the eponymous tax cuts, whether you're talking about Kennedy or Bush or Reagan or whatever, they just fade into a term that we call current tax rates and current tax brackets. Put it to bed now. These are no longer the Trump tax cuts. They're the same yesterday as they are today, and they'll be the same tomorrow and the same in 5 years because they're the current tax rates. I'm tired of it now, people. Let's talk about something important, okay? Just a couple little things that drive me insane when people get on these things because you know they're using them so as to irritate the most possible people. That's all.
That's some good housekeeping.
If you gotta blame Trump for everything that's wrong in your life, I really feel sorry for you. If you want to see the definition of a miserable person, just look back at the 8 hours and change that Hakeem Jeffries spent in front of that microphone. My God, I am surprised that any number of Americans even survived that because so many millions of people are going to die. What is the purpose of living your life miserable? I don't get it. I'm going down in history, I hope, as being a happy person. And hopefully I'll live long enough to prove it, too.
Yeah, and the premise of that is just off. You know, it's like people have agency over what happens to them to a much greater degree than, you know, many of us like to talk about. And I think that's all this acknowledges.
You're absolutely right. All right, let's hit some more highlights. There are a lot of things in here that we hadn't heard anything about. And there's still things that we don't know yet because there's, you know, that the thing happened on the 4th of July, so all the people who would normally be picking it apart and issuing summaries, they took off that day.
Yeah.
So we'll know more by next Saturday than we do now. But we know a lot yet.
Yeah. Now, Steve, I know you have a few good bullet points to point out. I'll run through these last ones that I earmarked. I've got no tax on tips or overtime. We've heard a lot about this, and it is now part of that law. Mm-hmm. So for tips, up to $25,000 for single filers, up to $150,000 of total income on a tax return, mm-hmm. is tax-free. Up to $300,000 for marrying filing jointly before you start to see a phase-out. On the overtime side, it is a $12,500 deduction for overtime pay with the same phase-out thresholds. Car loan interest deduction, that is a big one. And honestly, I don't really know what I think about that. But deduction of $10,000 of interest per filer per year on loans to purchase passenger cars.
And it does not require itemizing.
It doesn't require itemizing. What are your thoughts on that? I need some time to process it, but I'm not sure where I stand.
Well, I don't know. I could, like so many things that are in this kind of nebulous arena, salt is another one. Mm-hmm. If you put me on the debate team and just put me one side or the other, I'll make a good argument.
You can play that. Yeah, that's kind of how I feel. And then
But I love the fact that the cars that are being assembled here are the only ones included. If they did it for all cars, I would say do it for none if you're not going to do it for something with a good reason. But since it's only the things that take place here, let's try it out. It's temporary anyway.
Sure. Yeah, the thing I wonder is if will companies respond by, you know, you see all these 0% financing offers all the time. Well, what does that do for you?
Oh, I want 10%.
Right. And so is that going to incentivize companies? It'll be interesting to see how companies respond, I guess.
Take it off the list price and put it on the financing.
That's right. And then so 529s. This was a subtle but important one in my eyes. Mm-hmm. There was an expansion to the tax-free withdrawal eligibility of various expenses to include more K-12 expenses plus certifications and licenses such as preparing to be an HVAC tech and things like that. In my eyes, this is long overdue. You know, education is education.
I agree.
Preparing for certifications, including the CFP designation.
Exactly.
This is all very important and part of creating a life for oneself. And I think the 529 is designed to do that.
Yeah, by the way, I got a note here that I found and brought here for this reason. People are looking around saying, what jobs in the future are going to be AI-proof? And this guy came out with a couple of them. He says, it looks like we're going to need tens of thousands more accountants, CEOs, and, ready, financial advisors by 2030. Now, that kind of goes along with my years-long push to have young people get into financial planning. It's a great profession. If you like people and numbers and money, it just might be for you. And nowadays, you can get educated in it as locally as right here in Jacksonville. And it's just a really, really good way to help the public, because there's a lot of us. There are 100,000 CFPs in the world, and a lot of us are not young anymore. And there's going to be a lot of people looking for good advisors over the next decades. And you're not going to get replaced by AI and Robinhood and all that stuff. A true financial advisor is a lot different than a stockbroker.
Agreed.
Stockbrokers, you could call your AI machine and say, buy whatever. But if you want to know how something fits into your life and your plan and your family and all that, then if you go a little bit deeper and find people like us, you're going to do a better job. Second one, you will be much less worried about it. And all these studies have been proven recently. But the big one is you're going to wind up with 1% or 2% better returns overall, even after paying an advisor, because that's just what we do.
And that's based on that Vanguard study, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So that fits right in to what we're talking about there. All right, you got some others?
That's the last of my list, but I know you had a few more.
Well, this one that's going to hit Joey. Every baby born during the Trump administration gets a $1,000 head start on life.
Just in time, baby.
Yep. And that $1,000 is going to be untouchable until the kid is 18. And at that time, there are some ways to get some of it out. And then at, I can't remember, maybe it's 25, a little later on, then you can use it different ways. But how would you be better off if you had an 18-year-old $1,000 account invested in the S&P 500 index? Well, you'd have a lot of money, at least in the 30s of thousands. And how many people would not like to have that bit of a head start when they're trying to buy their first house or something like that? So it's another one of those that I can probably go a little either way. You know, I don't want to fund your kid's retirement, but if this is going to make the whole country better off, okay, let's give it a 4-year experiment. I hate it when they put things in sunset And there's a lot of these provisions that do. But what it does is it gives us all a test run that's actually long enough to show if there's any results from it. So on that, I'll sit back and support almost everything that's going on in here, thinking, well, we're going to be a much wiser country by the end of his term. And then if it happens that it's Vance or someone in the same ilk that is going to follow him, then you know it's just going to get extended. So as long as we can keep the Congress and they do what they do. Somebody said, you know, Americans always do the right thing after they've exhausted every other possibility.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's see. How about your standard deduction? A lot of you probably know exactly what the increase in the standard deduction meant to you. It means you get to file an easier tax return. And for the most part, I think it winds up costing us less in taxes because most of us can't add up deductions to get up to that standard deduction. Well, guess what? You all got a 10% increase in it. Across the board, all of the standard deductions, they get a 10% bump. I love it. Then there's another little senior kicker on top of that. And pretty soon, I estimated, I think I got it right, but I think Sarah and I are going to wind up with a standard deduction of about $44,200 for this year.
Wow.
Yeah. I tell you, I pay a lot of money in taxes and such, but it's nowhere near that. So this is in the very firm part of good news. So let's not forget that one. Let's see. Auto interest recovered. QBI. Don't have time to really cover this yet. We got 30 seconds, but I'll introduce it. A lot of you also probably remember that small businesses got a tax break in the TCJA based on, well, I'll give credit where it's due, Ron Johnson, senator from Wisconsin, his astute observation that we were about to get shafted. I'll bring it up, finish it up right after another short break, and we'll see you then. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Joey Loss.
And our trivia question is available. Only 77 times in 35 years has the S&P 500 equal weight index grown in one day over 1% more than the cap weighted. I want to know what year that was. And there were 19 of them during that time. So you can tell that's something of a concentration when 19 out of 77 times happen in one year. And also the lines are open, 904-222-8255. And back to the one big beautiful law. I'm going to say it and say it until everybody's saying it. Who'd have thought? In fact, I got to go back and talk about that for a minute. In January, Trump was talking to, I can't remember if it was Thune or Johnson. I think it was Johnson. And they were talking about the tax plan that was going to come up. And because in Washington, we always do it this way. We're going to break it up into pieces and pass them as time goes by and all that. And Trump says, no. What do you mean, no? I want it all done at once. And Thune and Johnson look at him like he's from another planet, which, by the way, that question is still open. Certainly one of a kind. But he said, nope, I want to do it all at once. Well, if you're a financial planner, a tax accountant, or anything like that, you probably let out the biggest war whoop ever. They make us do planning up to about September 22nd most years. And here it is, 4th of July, and we can do it already. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. But anyway, the pure force of Trump got these people together, and the naysayers, you've all heard them, over and over and over. There is not a way on God's green earth that this is going to happen. We'll have to split it up. That was going on as early as last week and from people who are supposedly pretty responsible. And then all of a sudden, the magic, Mike Johnson is a magician, and Thune is a surprise. Thune was what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to demean him because that's not at all what I mean. He was not exciting in the Senate. And, you know, unlike Mitch McConnell. When they chose Thune, I was glad they didn't get Cornyn because Thune's far better. But I thought, man, we missed a chance to put sort of a flashier, and happy, being a big talker, all that in there who might get some attention. I got to give it to Thune. He has been spectacular. Everything he has promised came true. And then Johnson, who, if you want to talk about herding cats, look at 435 people with a margin of about five. And they are all, I say all, they're almost all prima donnas. And they all want their faces and their names and TV. And so they, of course, have to stand between the camera and whatever's happening and on and on and on. And somehow he did it again. I don't know how many rabbits that man has in his hat, but there must be a few left because he keeps using them. But all of this came together, and then the Democrats tried every trick in the book because they didn't want Trump's desire to have it on his desk on the 4th to come true. That's 100% politics. But like I said, the pure force of Trump made it happen, and I am absolutely blown away. All right, let's go back to the first 8 years when Trump was putting the TCJA together in 2017. And it was noted the way things were working by Ron Johnson, who was a manufacturer in Wisconsin. He did essentially what I did when we lived there, except he did it really well and really big. A man's worth a lot of money. When he got into politics, he brought with him that small family business concept and attitude. And he noticed in the first Trump bill that what was going to happen to small businesses like Joey's and Adam's and mine, we were going to wind up paying the marginal rate of the big boys, mm-hmm. the C-Corps. And he approached Trump at the last minute and said, we need to talk. We got a problem. And Trump brought him in, and they discussed it in the Oval Office. And Johnson showed him why this was going to be for people like self-employed people, sub-S corporations, small LLCs and so on. This was going to just absolutely kill us. And Adam and I were watching this, and we were computing the difference, and it was going to cost us each a lot of money. And Johnson figured out how to get that deduction back in with what he called the qualified business income, or QBI. And that's an extra deduction made based on the profits of a small business that turn it back into the same taxation as had been the intent that was being lost. So that was also set to expire with TCJA, and that would have meant December 31. So they got in there again this time, and they had talked about taking it from 20% to 23%. That provision got lost, but that wasn't the big deal. They got it back in there and made it permanent. That was the big deal. So now hundreds of thousands of small business people are going to carry on the same way they've been operating without being super-duper penalized. That is one of the most important provisions in this law. If you are one of the millions of Americans who has a small business. Now, whether just you or not, it can be you and your wife. You can have employees depending on your structure. The fact is, if you're opting for taxation that way, there's a reason for it. And most financial advisors will be affected by this and would have been, and it would have been just such an ungodly mess. And thanks again to Donald Trump and Ron Johnson, right on top of it. And I'm very happy. All right, some other things that you probably didn't know. Let's see. The Democrats had set up what they call the gig workers rule. The gig workers rule said that if you pay someone $600 in any year, you have to report it on a 1099. That used to be $10,000. Democrats wanted it to $600. They're so sure that everybody's ripping off the IRS. And I'm not going to comment one way or the other on the veracity of that. But they got it fixed, and it goes back to the old rates. Very important. Let's see. The QBI deduction I talked about. The border wall. Now, what got Trump elected? Build that wall, right? Well, he would have if he had been reelected the first time. But, of course, the first thing he did was cut it off. Well, it's back on to the sum of 40-some billion. We're going to finish it and all the electronics that go along it. Everything's going to get done the way the vision was in the first place. Let's see here. School. Here's a big one. All you parents out there, guess what's been codified at the national level? School choice. Now, Florida has it recently. I don't know the terms of it. But school choice is now the law of the land. And states are going to implement this one by one. And you can give some input to your state representatives and so on as to how you'd like to see it work. But it's in there. And I think that's really important. Now, if you like to eat and drink milk and stuff like that, farmers have been saved also with a special provision. I have watched, growing up in dairy farm country, I have watched farms turn over. I have watched some people pull it off successfully and others lose their farms. This is going to help farmers all across the country keep hold in their family of the family farms. And many of them want to do that. They like farming and they're good at it. And that way, we don't have all these mega farms out there that are impersonal, to say the least, and you know, they wind up helping the Chinese here and there, you know, Chinese-owned Smithfield and things like that. So we want our small local farms. There's also some attention paid to foreigners buying land near military bases and that kind of thing. And you can imagine everything Joey and I just talked about, we probably discussed 150, 200 pages overall out of the bill. Mm-hmm. It's 940 pages long. There's going to be stuff coming out for a long, long time, and we'll bring up the important ones as it is released. But when you see this and what it really means, I don't think there's a right-thinking person in the country who could look at it and not just shake their head and say, they got one right. Was it 100%? Of course not. Did the debt ceiling rise $5 trillion more than Rand Paul wanted? Yes, it did. But that's not going to stand in the way of finishing some of this stuff, and it shouldn't. So I don't like all of that either. But if we're going to get this debt deficit problem under control, we've got to do some things, and we've got to do them fast. Oh, by the way, any of you got any plane tickets that you're going to use pretty soon? Because Sean Duffy is starting the new air control system out of this money. And if anybody ever needed an upgrade, it's the U.S. air control system. You know, that I'm sure all the remaining tube manufacturers in the country are really sad because they're losing their last customer.
Well, and also passports are now easier to get than ever before. And, you know, this is just something that was a system that was 50 years behind.
Yep. All right. In 2000, there were 19 occurrences of the equal weight index exceeding the return of the cap weight index. That was the year Trump was coming in and it was looking like he was going to win. Why the smaller companies? Because under him, they've got a better chance of thriving and surviving. That's my estimation. Feel free to argue it, but it was that wonderful year, 2020. See you next week at the same time. Thanks for listening. This is the Van Wee Financial.